if you are able to, around Thursdays, about midday, log on to Premier Alan Windey's Facebook page. And that's about the time when the Premier, with experts, members of his government, have a virtual press conference. And it's open to the public in the way that you can listen in on that meetings. And some fascinating facts and figures come out of there. Sometimes a lot of scary facts and figures. Yesterday, there was a point which caught many by surprise. It said that if this province, the Western Cape, stood alone as its own country, we could be compared to, our COVID-19 deaths could be compared to that of other nations. We would be among the worst daily mortality rates in the world. I'm joined this morning by epidemiologist Professor Andrew Bull, who had crunched the numbers and found that poorer areas of the Cape, like the Klipfontein Health District, had a mortality rate of 700 per million people. There's also hotspots like Khayelitsha that also have a rate of 500 per million. If you compare that to the United Kingdom or the US, it makes for shocking reading. In the UK, that rate was at about 660 million per million. In the US, it's at 390 per million. In South Africa, it is just around, South Africa as a whole, it's at 48. Professor Bull joins us now at on the line. Professor, it's fascinating listening to this data that is being crunched out in these press conferences. But how should this data make everyday people try and understand about just what issues we are dealing with in this COVID-19 crisis?
Morning, Lester. Morning to your listeners. So I think the reason for that point being made is that although South Africa has been spared the dramatic impact of COVID that many countries faced early this year, it's easy to lose view of the fact that that we're still in a health crisis, and quite a substantial one. And although COVID-19 mortality has declined the world over, at the moment and globally, the countries like South Africa, other low middle income countries, are experiencing a different kind of epidemic, but with one that still has substantial morbidity and mortality. And I think for many people who've experienced lockdown may not know people who've been directly affected by COVID-19. Mm. They may not realize that we are in the midst of a health crisis, mm-hmm. and the importance of applying all of those measures that the Premier talks about at those digital press conferences, the importance of the social distancing, the hand hygiene, mask wearing, etc.
But Professor, many would argue, and some messages coming through on the WhatsApp line here with these exact questions, that are these numbers accurate if we look at in the public sector, people below the age of 55 without comorbidities are no longer being tested. You can still test in a private facility at your own cost. I know that there is some form of relief one gets at seeing the numbers. It's reassuring. But does testing come into play into this conversation? Is there an accurate picture being drawn if we are not testing as many people as possible?
So definitely the number of cases reported we know are a poor reflection of the total number of people infected, because only people who are sick or fall in particular categories are getting tested. But when it comes to people being hospitalized and deaths that are associated with those hospitalizations, then our data are reasonably accurate. Mm. We do know that we don't capture all events, but we know that the way in which we do it is consistent, and therefore the trends that we measure are fairly consistent.
Could they be a reflection of a trend rather than the actual cold numbers?
That's correct. So we do make adjustments when we look at hospitalizations and mortality for delays in reporting and completeness of reporting. At any point in time, there is always some under-ascertainment, but we do believe that the trends are relatively robust. Mm.
Yesterday, the Premier, yourself and Dr. Keith Kloete spoke about the numbers here in the Western Cape are leveling out. That is good news. That is what we have been told. We want to see the bell end of the curve. But yesterday it was said that this flattening is going to be longer, for a longer period than expected. What does this mean? We're not going to be seeing a rapid decrease in recoveries over the next few weeks and months. We are going to be sort of plateauing for a bit with the same number of infections. Is that the way I read it?
So it's very difficult to know precisely what's going to happen. But the modeling that has been done has shown that a realistic scenario, and one that we need to prepare for, is one where we continue with a significant number of clinical events for a longer period. So in other words, a lower, flatter trajectory. And that's precisely what we would have hoped for. So a month ago, it looked like it might be much more acute. And now that the last month has played out and the rate of change has been a little bit slower, it's meant that our health services have coped more easily. But it does also mean that we're probably in for quite a prolonged period of COVID-19-associated infections and associated hospitalization and some mortality.
I know this is going to be a very difficult question to ask, or to answer, but as many of the questions I receive in my household from the people who send us messages or the people we bump into the street, how long are we going to be living with COVID-19?
So that's as you said, it's an impossible question to answer accurately, but I think we have to be prepared that until and unless something dramatic changes and there is a lot of uncertainty in how it is going to play out, we should be preparing that this is the new normal for at least the next year to 18 months.
Professor Andrew Boll, the public health specialist at the Western Cape Department of Health, thanks so much for joining us.